Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have got a healing show today, and it's going to be excellent. I just know because I've read the book and the information is sound, and I just talked to the beautiful Penny Lavin, and she's absolutely darling, and she walks her talk. So we're going to be talking about her book, The Healing Field, Exceptional Healing Practices to Change Your Life. And folks, the practices really do work. So in this time of the virus, post-virus, however you want to look at it, it is time to take charge of your own health and your own healing. And we're going to share some tools on how to do that today. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NessMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Excuse me. We all need to learn how to use the higher energetics of energy practices and energy healing to help us release blockages, fears, and stress. This will help support and enhance our immune system, which is something we all need to do right now, especially in this time of the coronavirus. My guest today, Penny Price Lavin, is an award-winning producer and filmmaker and has worked on Good Morning America, NBC News Magazine, and many documentaries. She has been practicing energy medicine since 1995 and became a practitioner and instructor with One Light Healing Touch, where she is committed to helping others to learn, heal, and evolve. And you can check her out at the website, and that is onelighthealingtouch.com. So that's all one word, onelighthealingtouch.com. Welcome, Penny.
Oh, thank you so much for the introduction. It's lovely to be here, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you and being able to connect to your listeners today.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for writing the book, The Healing Field, Exceptional Healing Practices to Change Your Life. Now, you've been in this healing game for quite some time. In fact, you and your husband, Ron, are the owners of One Light Healing Touch. But before we talk about your organization, I want to talk a bit about your book, okay? Your book,
sure.
The Healing Field, what exactly is the healing field?
I did a documentary called The Healing Field, Exploring Energy and Consciousness. And I did the documentary a few years ago, and it was on PBS, and it's on Gaia. Gaia says it's one of the most popular programs that they have, and they also have it in German, French, and Spanish. Uh-huh. And I began to get so many emails from people all over the world who said, please do a book because the documentary has so much information about it. We'd love to have a book so we could sit with it and pore over it and reread it and underline and so forth. I wasn't thinking of doing a book, truly. It wasn't something that was part of me, but when I kept getting emails from people saying, we would love you to do a book. So always in my life. I'm always sensitive to helping to, if there's something, if there's a need out there, if there's something as a calling out there, I do my best, if I can, to bring it forth. You know, when I was at Good Morning America, I felt like I was an antenna. I helped launch it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was an antenna. And every day, you know, whatever I was tuning into in the world, really, and being able to access those people and bring them on, or at NBC Magazine. So I was born psychic, very psychic, and always in my life, part of my mission in my life is to have that awareness, you know, of what people are needing and wanting, and then if I can, if it's part of my path, to help deliver that. So when I did, just briefly, you talked about when I got into this. So basically, I got into energy healing when I was a child, when I was 11 years old. And one of my friend's fathers had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital, and she knew I had, you know, she knew I was psychic, and she knew I had access to other dimensions because we were best friends, and we used to share conversations. And she said, do something. And I closed my eyes, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I closed my eyes, and I suddenly just began to imagine certain colors, bringing them into the hospital room and bringing the colors around him. And as I recall, it was like pinks and greens and golds and so forth. And I did it for, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, and I was really very present with it. And then a couple of days later, she said, oh, he's so much better, remarkably better, and the doctors are saying it just, you know, it's really quite surprising how much better he is. And she said, thank you, and what did you do? And then I told her. And then I told her what I saw when I was imagining him in the hospital room, and she was dumbstruck, and she said that was exactly, detailed by detail, that was exactly the way his hospital room was configured. And at that point, I knew that I was able to cross into another dimension. Because when you're a child, you know, you have this wonderful world of imagination. You know, you can go to planets. You can do all so many different things that we can do when we're children. We have that wonderful world of imagination. So at that point, I realized that this was accessible to me, and that color healing was something, and I loved doing it. So after that time, I began using color healing on sick friends and sick animals, you know, sick relatives and so forth. And years later, I learned Reiki years later, and then I loved Reiki. And then I did it for a few years until I learned One Way Healing Touch, which is what I do now. But when I was living in Los Angeles, a lady was having a very famous person who was channeling ISIS, and in a very fancy home in Los Angeles. And I sat there in the audience, and I'm getting ready to hear this person coming in, and suddenly I feel like there's an electrical storm around me, and then I feel the storm in my stomach that I've never felt before or since. And I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. something is going to happen today. And then the person who channeled ISIS said, you know, welcome, ISIS. We're glad that you're here. We have an audience here to ask you questions. And then the being who was channeling ISIS said, I'm delighted to be here, but I first want to talk to the being Fanny or Penny and answer her questions. And I nearly fell off my chair. And from that, and then at that point, you know, I'd been NBC Magazine and Good Morning America, so I love to interview people. So I interviewed this person who was channeling ISIS for the next 15 minutes, all kinds of questions about the universe and everything. I asked so many questions. And then what she said was that I had been many lifetimes I had spent as a priestess and as a healer in ISIS's temple, and one of the things we used to do a lot was color healing. So I said, ah, that's where it came through. So whenever now when I meet people or clients or students and they have a real proclivity, or when parents have, they have a child that, you know, sits down at the piano and plays or writes or, you know, have this kind of ability that is really seemingly out of almost nowhere, I always have helped them pay attention to that ability the child had in another lifetime. And sometimes they just come through with the person, just and like fears do. You know, if you've died, mm-hmm. you know, in drowning, you know, sometimes you'll be here and you don't know why you have this huge fear of water. So
right.
sometimes these things come through with us. So in my case, it was the love of energy of color healing. And so one of the things in One Lay Healing Touch, we have like 33 different techniques that we teach. One of them is color healing, which of course is one of my favorites. So I've been doing this a long time.
just a little bit of time, but very good. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, right? You know,
It's
been a little bit of time, but you're very proficient, you and Ron, at what you do. Right now, we're experiencing this interesting pandemic that is changing the world on many different ways, and then on top of that, we're experiencing the unrest because of the murder of George Floyd, and because of that, many cities have instituted curfews, and actually, my city did last night. It was the first night, and it was amazing how the energy shifted, both, number one, from the pandemic and people wearing masks and the pollution going away, and then, two, with the people having to stay in because of their curfew, it was like the earth had a reprieve. It could rest a bit. So share with us, what can we do during this time of the pandemic and unrest to heal ourselves? I mean, we're so focused on looking everything externally, but I feel in this time, during this time, it's important to have some inward healing. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. Ron and I agree with you completely, and this is what we also tell our students. This is the time to begin to go within and do as much healing as you possibly can, because one of these days we're going to come out of this, and we need to come out better. We need to come out as a better, more enlightened society. We need our hearts to be more open. We need to be more grounded. We need to be more psychic so we can discern the truth from the lie and help open that third eye. And so what we say is all of the good things that your listeners are doing, you know, they're trying to eat right, and hopefully they're trying to exercise, even if you're in the house, you know, do half hour every day or 20 minutes every day or every other day. All the things that you know to keep your immune system up, you need to do. So it almost goes without saying, but we need to remind ourselves to do those things. And we know that everything we can do to support our immune system, and we know that one of the big things that suppresses our immune system is sugar. All the things that we know we shouldn't do, we shouldn't do.
But it's
we
so hard to get away
them.
From. You know?
It is hard to get away from it. But, all we have is our energy and our time. This is what we're here now. And if we don't use this time wisely, we're gone. So we need to use our time and our energy for our lives for the greatest good, for the greatest good for us, but also the greatest good for our families, the greatest good for our society. So besides the food and the exercise and, you know, whatever good vitamins and the things, if your listeners don't know, the things to keep up the immune system, so it's vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and echinacea. So if you do them every day or a couple times a day or every other day or something, but do them. I mean, they're not expensive. None of them are expensive. But do those things that support your immune system. Cut down on the sugar. Do whatever you can to promote good sleep and bring more exercise into your life. You know, this is not a time to be a couch potato. This is the time to give yourself the exercise that you need to, that you can. But the other important point is that we need to know, besides those obvious things, and do good in the world. If there's some charities that you love, or if there's a food pantry locally that you can't get to, send them $5, send them $10, whatever you can do, make the good that you can do, not just for yourself and for your family, but also make it good in the world. There's so many stories that we're seeing on television about good nonprofits that are doing amazing things in the world. Well, send them something. Don't just look at the story. Send them something. Even if it's small, send them something. Because we all need to support each other. And this thing with the virus, we're knowing that we're all in it together, right? The whole world has it. We're in it together. So this is an important point to take that in, to feel that connection that we have with other sentient beings on this planet. We are in it together, so let's support each other. Let's see what we can do to make our world a better place. We need to come out of this in a more enlightened state. So besides all those things that are good, now I just want to talk about the energy work. Human beings are energy sponges. We're all, you know, you go to an event and you're feeling a certain way and you walk in the door and it's a party and suddenly you're feeling buoyant because you're matching. We match energy. You're matching that energy of the gathering. I mean, we can remember what it was like to go to a party, but not recently, but we can remember that. And then sometimes you can be with some friends and then you start feeling, and then there's a new person in the group and you start feeling more tired and more tired and more tired, and you go home and you're exhausted. And you feel like you've been with an energy vampire, and you were. And some people don't even know it, but they suck energy.
Yeah.
So what's important with that is that it's real. Notice when you feel good around people. Notice when you feel not so good around other people. And notice that has an effect on you. So spend as little time as you can with people that you don't feel good around, and spend more time with people that you do feel good around, because that energy, human beings are energy sponges. So we are human. We radiate energy, electromagnetic energy. It pours in from above, and then the earth comes up the body, and it radiates out through our chakras, the energy systems. So that field that we are radiating, when we interact with other people, we are feeling their energy. And when it feels good, it has a positive effect on us. And when it doesn't feel good, it has a negative effect on us. And it is real. When you are around negative people and you feel, God, that energy was toxic, it is. It truly, truly is. And be aware and take care of yourself and spend less time with, you know, the crazy Uncle Fred or the mean, mean boss. Those people have a toxic effect. Or if you're listening to too much news and you're feeling debilitated from it, don't listen to so much news if it's negative. Notice that all those things that are energetic systems has an effect on you. You know, they've talked about and they've done studies that when a couple has a fight, if somebody has a little cut, it takes longer for that cut to heal, because the whole body has been debilitated by just that argument that you had with a spouse. So notice that energy is absolutely real. So what we teach in One Light Healing Touch, we teach that we hold on to, because we're sponges, as human beings we are, so we hold on to energy, the big stuff, the core programming, our parents, our crisis, our tragedies, the loss of a loved one or loss of a job, or the big stuff that happens to us. We hold on to that energy for decades and decades and decades, and it sits and sits and sits, and it will sit until you move it out. It will literally sit your whole life until you move it out. And we have these wonderful, wonderful techniques which helps people move out the energy, release the energy, open to the divine light above, and bring it in so that people can really start feeling a shift in their life. And you know, some people, there was, you know, every year there's people who go through amazing changes just by doing the work. One lady had lymphedema in her arms from breast cancer treatments, and the doctor said, no, you, there's swelling in the arms after breast cancer that some women experience, and the doctor said, no, we can't do anything about it. Well, completely went away by the third weekend of the school. Another lady had fibromyalgia, went away, depression, and she had tried all different kinds of, you know, talk therapy and so forth, and, you know, supplements and so forth, and it went away completely by the third class. So what I've seen, and a lady last year had breast cancer, and the doctor wanted to, they're doing these preventative mastectomies now more frequently, and she said, no, I really don't want it. I want it. She knew about us, and so she came up from New York, and she works for the State Department, and she knew about us, and she's a really smart lady. And she came up to the school, and she did the practices, and she listened to the CD. She was a great student. She was highly motivated. And then she went for her mammogram afterwards, and she was completely clear. But we hear that every single year. So what we know is when students begin to move the energy out, all kinds of things happen. All kinds of changes happen. So I now never say, well, it can do this, but it can't do that. I say, well, just do it. See what happens.
Yeah,
it will always
happens.
Be positive.
Exactly.
It will always be positive. And sometimes I say it's a throwaway, the crutches kind of, you know, response where it's an amazing change. And sometimes it's smaller, but it's always, always positive. When you begin to shift that energy and release it and open to the higher energies. But the thing is, the thing I think One Light Healing Touch, why we're having so much success with students is because we do this combination. So it's part lecture, obviously, to explain something. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a practice. So we'll do meditation and movement and breath work and sacred ceremony and visualization. So we'll do wonderful practices. And right after the practices, I'll teach a healing, or we have other instructors. So they'll teach a healing, and then the students will go over to the tables, and they'll give a healing and receive a healing. And it's that combination, really, that allows for huge change to occur. Now, because of the virus, we're not doing in-person schools right now, so we're doing Zoom schools, and I have a Zoom school that's starting in June. I have another one scheduled starting in October, so it's 14 days. It's over five sessions, and it's over 14 days, and they learn like 33 healing techniques and all these different self-healing practices, so it's wonderful, and I love to teach. I love to see people open and heal and grow, so I don't think I'll ever stop. I don't know how that to wheel me out.
Okay.
So I love the work, though.
So. Well, great. Now, folks, we're speaking with Penny Price Lavin, and we're talking about her book, The Healing Field. And you can check her out at her website, and that is onelighthealingtouch.com. Again, it's onelighthealingtouch, all one word, .com. In your book, you give many different healing modalities, and I think you could just pick and choose and use one and see what it affects, because all of them are very effective. But one that caught my eye in particular was running energy. So talk to us about that. What is running energy, and how do we do it, and why is it important?
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll be happy, you know, and I'll lead your listeners through it. The reason I did the book is because I wanted to empower people, because these things are available, and the practices that I chose for the documentary and the book are practices that have been studied. There's so many studies on energy healing and qigong and mental imagery and sound healing. So I chose things that really have so much science behind it, and I chose excellent people at the top, you know, wonderful practitioners and experts. And the point of it is that we used to, you know, in 100 years ago, I can't do anything for myself. I need to go to a doctor and be fixed. And I wanted to throw that out entirely. And as Beverly Rubik said, the big shift in healthcare now is that it's moving away from that old mentality that, you know, in old medicine where something is wrong and then you go in and you plug something else in and you fix it, you get fixed. Mm-hmm. Whereas now what we're doing with, as she says, is that it's all about self-care. And that's exactly the point that I wanted to make to the readers and in the documentary to the viewers. And that is that we have these amazing modalities, if people would know about them, which is why I did the documentary and the book, we have these amazing techniques that work. But they're called practices because you have to practice them for them to work. You can't hold the book and expect to, you know, go through a healing. You must practice it. If you like qigong, practice it every other day, or go online and find a qigong teacher that you like now. So many people I know are doing Zoom classes, or in the book, there's so many exercises for mental imagery that if you open the book to say, okay, what should I do about whatever, and you look at the mental imagery section, and then you'll have many examples. So back in the energy healing section, so in the book, so we have sound healing, mental imagery, qigong, and energy healing. So in energy healing, that's a lot of what we wrote about is the work that we use in One Light Healing Touch. So we have this wonderful practice that that Ron was guided to connect with and bring in, and you know, through his connection to spirit years ago. It's, mm-hmm. And it's really one of our favorite practices. So it's called running energy. So I'll just can I lead your listeners through
please
it?
Please do. Please
okay.
Do.
So it's basically three things. So you release into a cloud, and then you release down the grounding cord, and then you open to the light and bring the light in. So just close your eyes and imagine a great big beautiful white puffy cloud above your head, a cumulus cloud, and begin to release the tension and stress and pressure around your head and behind your ears, in your shoulders, and breathe and release. Let all that breath go up to the cloud, the tension and stress. Breathe and release. You've got to use your breath. Breathe and release. And send that breath up to the cloud. Any thoughts that are running around in your brain, just breathe and release. Let them go. Send them up to the cloud. And now send the cloud out the window, up to the sun. Let it be destroyed and recycled. Send it away.
Mm-hmm.
And now cut your grounding cord under your feet, and you, with your invisible feather, invisible knife. We all have grounding cords that connect us to Earth, or otherwise we'd be sailing off into space. So you'll have to take my word for it that they exist. So cut those grounding cords. And I want you to create a brand new grounding cord from the bottom of your feet and your spine, going out from every cell of your body. And send that grounding cord down into the earth. Think of the roots from a tree. That's exactly what you're doing. And send that grounding cord down into the soil, through the rocks, through the deeper layers of earth over centuries, down and down, down into the core of the earth. And anchor into the core of the earth. See that molten core in your mind's eye. You've seen pictures of it in books. So just imagine that molten core in your mind's eye and send your grounding cord even deeper so you're fully grounded in and on the earth, down into the core of the earth, Mother Gaia, Gaia, that female energetic. Many tune into it and feel that, so you can tune in and feel if that works for you. And now bring your awareness back to your torso, starting with your head. And now we're going to release at a deeper level than you released into the cloud. Breathe, feel any tightness or tension in your head, and breathe and release. Now send it down the grounding cord, down into the core of the earth. Let it go. And don't worry about Gaia taking out trash. She doesn't take it as negative or positive energy. It's just energy that she uses to create new life. So send that energy down the grounding cord. Let it go. And now bring your awareness to your shoulders. We often hold a lot of stuck energy there. And feel your shoulders. Move them around a little bit if you wish. Feel any tightness or tension in your shoulders. And breathe and release. Send the tension down, let go, release and let it go down the grounding cord. And it's important each time you release that you release down the grounding cord, because you don't want to release the energy into your field, or you'll be like that little character Pigpen in Peanuts. You'll just be walking around with a cloud of debris. So you want to send it down the grounding cord, let it go. And now feel into your chest, your big muscles around your heart, your upper torso. Feel into that whole region, anything that feels tight or tense, and breathe and release. Send the tension down the grounding cord. Let it go. And now your abdomen, your belly, your hips, that whole region in your lower torso. Feel into it. And whatever feels tight or tense, breathe and release. Send the tension down the grounding cord. And now your legs. Feel into your legs, big thigh muscles, knees and calves and feet. Feel into that whole region. We often stuff a lot of old energy down our legs, which is why a lot of people have a lot of leg problems or vein problems. So tune in. Feel where you have holding and stuck energy in your legs. And just gently ask it to open and release. Send it down the grounding cord. Let it go. Now the third part is the light. So tune in and bring in a beautiful divine light right above your head. However you relate to the divine energetic, it can be Christ or God or Goddess or divine creator, whatever way works for you that is your path to the divine energetic. See that divine light radiating right above your head, pulsating and radiating. Say hello to it. And now invite the divine light down. Let it pour over the higher cell chakra. Let it pour into the head. Open your crown chakra at the very top of your head and see the divine light pouring down, washing through your brain and eyes and head and jaw, down into your throat, down and through your left arm and then right arm, out your fingers, no effort, just let the energy flow out your palms and fingers. I'm holding onto the phone, but you listeners should have your palms on your hands, palms up, palms on your thighs rather, sorry, palms on your hands should be on your thighs, palms up, letting the energy just flow out your palms. And bring your awareness now back to your upper torso and invite that light to flow down through your heart, washing your lungs with this COVID virus. Make sure, bring that light into your lungs. Let it clean your lungs, all the little capillaries, the heart, the valves of the heart. Use your imagination. Bring the light through those areas. All the women who are listening, bring the light through your breast tissue, washing and cleansing your breast tissue. And now invite the light to flow down through the middle section of the torso and lower torso, belly and intestines and abdomen. Let it flow through that whole region, washing and cleansing it. Keep opening and breathing. It's really important to use your breath during this whole process. Keep breathing and opening and giving yourself permission. And now at the end, let's bring it through the left leg, down through the left foot into the grounding cord. And now bring it through the right leg, right foot into the grounding cord. And now just sit in this way for 10 seconds or so. Opening to the divine light above and just letting it wash over you and through you. And at your head, let it wash over your skin so it's washing on the inside of your body and the outside, washing your aura, cleansing your aura, cleansing your skin. And feel the lusciousness of this beautiful divine light cleansing you, cleansing off all debris and tension and worry and stress, just letting it go. Be in a state of be more balanced, be more peaceful, feel more grounded, and just keep breathing and opening. And while you're doing that, I just want to bring your awareness to a few years ago, a lot of our students had read the wonderful Eckhart Tolle book, Power of Now. And they said, what do you think? And so Ron and I read it, and we said, oh, man is certainly enlightened, absolutely enlightened. But you're missing something here. You could give somebody $1 million to be present, because Buddha wrote about that a lot, the importance of being present. But mm-hmm. if they have all this debris and programming and worry and stress inside, they can't. It is impossible to be present. So that's why in the work in One Light Healing Touch, it's so important that you have to clean out the mm-hmm. stuff, the debris, the programming, the traumas. You have to clean those things out, because if you clean those things out, you can be present. And if you're not present, you can't. It's key to healing. It's key to living a full life. When you become more present, as you do the kind of work that we're talking about, as you do this kind of work, you are more present. You are more aware of your kids when they're saying something. You know immediately when something is off. You pay more attention to your husband or your wife or your boss. You are more awake. You are more aware. So much of the work that we do, I keep saying, it's about being more and more aware. And what do we have? We have our time and our energy. So if we can be more aware and awake in our lives, we can use our time more efficiently for our higher good and for the highest good of our families and our communities. So it's really all about, you know, and you think of environmental consciousness. As you begin to change the energy, and all your listeners, they begin to change the energy and use that little practice of running energy, or if somebody's interested in our school, please contact us. But when you begin to change the energy, look what you're doing with the environment. Your energy is contributing to a higher level, higher energetic on this planet. Every single person is contributing or not contributing to their energy. We are all connected. Our energy radiates out. So whether you're radiating, you know, fear and anger and I'm not enough, or I want to bully you, or, you know, I'm afraid of you, if you're radiating that, that's a very different energy than I'm grounded and I care about you and I want the best for you and I want the best for me. Very, very, very different. And you can't just do it in an affirmation. I mean, I know a lot of people like affirmations, but they're limited because you can say those things, but that's the 5% of the conscious mind that it's saying it.
Right.
95% of us is the unconscious, and that's the part that's holding that stuff that we're talking about. So you have to, as Candace Pert said in the documentary, what she found, it was psychoneuroimmunology, is you need to find other ways into the psychosomatic network, and that's what we do with One Lay Healing Touch. We go in, and other places do too. There's other body work methods that go in, or psychosomatic works that go in, and you go into another way without. So you go around the mind. So the mind gets it, but you don't have to confront the mind, you know, so that you go on much deeper levels. So it's really important for your listeners to know that, you know, you can read a wonderful book and you can say, oh, I like everything in that book, and it's high and high-minded, and they say afterwards, and you say, oh, but my life is not changing. And that's true for anybody, because that's only the 5% of the mind that gets it. You have to go into deeper levels.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Now, you write about something, and I get calls on this daily. And in this time of the pandemic and, you know, shelter in place and all of that, you're not supposed to be out and about and connecting with people one-on-one. So how does one receive a healing? So talk to us about distance healing and how that works. Because a lot of people are like, oh, no, I have to be there. And it's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. But first of all, Monique, how did you like that little running energy that I got
it
at you through?
Beautiful.
Did you like it?
Yeah,
oh, good.
Okay. And released a lot. So thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. It's yours. You can use it forever.
Okay.
Yeah. So distant healing is quite amazing. I mean, in the school coming up that we're going to be doing via Zoom, we found, because we're always an in-person school, so we weren't sure how it was going to work either. And then I did a number of workshops where we used it, and we found that it works amazingly. And I think it works so well, especially for One Light Healing. I mean, everybody's on Zoom now, but I think it works so well for us with One Light Healing Touch because Ron has been in 5 studies with the NIH on distant healing. Mm-hmm. So I called it his Mission Impossible years. He's considered an amazing, renowned healer. So he would get, just really briefly, it's such an interesting story. So he would get a picture, it was through the California Pacific Hospital, which is the largest hospital system in that area near San Francisco. And he would open it, said, don't open until Monday, whatever. And he would open it up, and he got the person's picture and their T-cell count and their first name, and that's all he had. And then he would go into meditation, and then he would connect to that person spirit to spirit, and he would begin to look at them and assess them and see what was going on with them besides the T-cell count. And then he would begin to do a healing, and the protocol for that study was he would do the healing for 5 days, and then he would write his notes down in a blue book and send them in. And the amazing thing about it, why these distant healing studies are landmark distant healing studies, Elizabeth Targ oversaw it. They're really famous. When they when the doctors looked at the results, he wasn't the only person, but they had people of his caliber, master healers, mm-hmm. you know, around the country doing the healings. So when they looked at the results, they found out that every single person who was in, they had a control group and a treated group, so it was double blind, and every single person in the treated group, their secondary diseases, which is what used to kill people of AIDS, you know, because it would ravage the immune system, the cancer and pneumonias and so forth, their secondary diseases either went away completely or significantly. In medicine, there's a word called significant, which means something. It has to be a certain percentage. And their hospital stays were shorter, their need for drugs was less, their moods were better. They had a number of different factors that they looked at. And then the other interesting thing is that when they went to that patient who was in the study, not the control group study, but in the treated group study, when they looked at, say, John, and they said, okay, John, on Monday, whatever that was, what did you write in your blue book? And John said, well, you know, at 10 o'clock, I felt this light flowing over me. And it was absolutely correlated with mm-hmm. people like Ron, because, you know, he's wonderful at what he does. Actually, one person he worked on had a brain lymphoma, and the week later it was gone. He was like one of the stars of their study. But every single person in the treated group, Monique, that what they would write down in their blue book, I felt this light, I felt more calm, I felt more peaceful, I slept better, they would absolutely feel. So the way energy healing works is that what we teach is that energy, everybody can do energy healing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like it's innate with all of us. It's like when we remember when we were little and, you know, we skinned our knee and we went to our mom's and then she'd put her hand on it. It was warm and we knew that there was something there and it felt good. Mm-hmm. So it's innate in all human beings that we have this ability, but for us, we think of it as kind of like piano and chopstick. Everybody can play chopsticks in 5 minutes, but if you want to play Beethoven, you need some practice and some teaching, so that's what we offer. So we teach a lot of distant healing techniques. We teach 33 other different kind of healing techniques. So with distant healing, what Beverly Rubik said so brilliantly in the documentary, oh, I love her, she's so brilliant, what mm-hmm. she said, because people are studying energy healing all over the world. They're seeing that it works. And they're saying, my God, but why does it work? Why? Why does it work? So it's being studied at universities around the world. And when they test it with magnetic frequencies, it registers. Some studies look at it. Does it have an electric frequency? It does. Some studies are looking at, does it have a light photon frequency? It does. And then they found many higher frequencies. So when an energy healer knows what they're doing and they have practice and they've spent their time and they've cleared out what we just talked about before, all the debris, because if a healer can't do the work well if they have all that stuff. You have to clear it out first. And that's why it's really important to spend the time of the clearing out work. It's sort of like, you know, when a person is a therapist and they also spend time, you know, going to a doctor themselves, because mm-hmm. you've got to know that when you're working with a client and something comes up and is pushing your buttons, is it you or is it the client?
Exactly.
You have to go through the training and the work to know your stuff and cleared away your stuff enough so that when you work with a client, you can be as clean as you possibly can and you can see them as clearly as you possibly can without your stuff being in the way. So when you work with distant healing, it's a quantum effect, obviously, because it works over all the people that Ron did with in that study. You know, he was in New York and they were all in California. So energy healing, it has a quantum effect and it can go over, obviously, thousands and thousands of miles. And so that's been studied, that it has this quantum effect. And the healer, when they access and they tune in, and, you know, we have different techniques for, and I'm sure you do too with the work that you've done, when you mm-hmm. do distant healing, you tune in to the client, and then you access the energies that you're working with, and you literally are sending them to that client. And then later, what we do, so we don't see anybody in person now, we're you know, Ron and I and all of the practitioners on our website, There's also a shorter way to get to our website is OLHT and then the number 1.com if people don't want to write all those onelighthealingtouch.com.
Okay.
So we have a whole list of certified practitioners. So we have practitioners all over the country, and still you can't see anybody in person at this point, but they all know how to do long-distance healing. It's not called long-distance. It's called distant healing. They all know. They've all been trained by us. All the people on that list are wonderful people. We have amazing healers that are part of One Light Healing Touch. And so when a person schedules a healing, what we do, what Ron and I do, is we get a picture of that person, we get the name, we get what their list of issues are, I have this or whatever they have to say. They send us a paragraph and an issue, and they pay, and then we'll arrange the time to do a healing, and Ron will send the healing energy, or sometimes I will talk with the person, and then I'll get off the phone and send the energy, because you don't want anything to take away from the energy. And sometimes you can be on the phone, and that can, you know, how is the phone feeling next to your ears?
Mm-hmm.
You want
nothing.
Exactly. You want nothing to be in the way of you just being that channel and sending that energy. So when you're in the healing space to send the energy, then you do that, and then you can either send your notes to the client, or you can then call them up and say, this is what I saw, and this is what I did, and how are you, and they can ask questions. When Ron does his sessions, he always just sends an email to his clients, and this is what I saw, and this is what I got. And if you look on the website, there's all these amazing testimonials of clients who said, oh, I felt this swirling energy, I felt this, my headache went away. So it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. But distant healing absolutely works. And if you go to a good one, I mean, everybody on our website is really good. If you go to a good one, you will feel the difference. And as I said, sometimes it's huge and sometimes it's smaller, but it's always, always positive.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time, but I need to ask this before we go. Regarding the distance healing and even healing in person, why is it so important for someone to give themselves permission to heal?
Well, we have a protocol in One Light Healing Touch where we ask permission, because if a person calls us and they wanted a healing, they call us, they will spend the money, or whatever the client is, will send the money, and you connect with them spirit to spirit, and they really don't want a healing. Maybe their illness is teaching them something.
Mm-hmm.
So their personality might say, yes, I'd love a healing, please, I'd love a healing. But if you connect to them spirit to spirit, and in spirit to spirit, if they don't want it, you always honor the spirit. So if you get a yes, then you go forward. But we have a protocol, and we really believe that it's really important to be absolutely the highest ethics that we can be, so that we are connecting spirit to spirit and honoring the spirit of that person. Like, we would never do a healing if someone says, I want you to do a healing on my uncle, whatever, and please do a healing. Before we accept the money and say yes, we'll connect, we'll get the person's name and say, does that person say yes? And if they say yes, we can do a healing. But if we connect to that person and that uncle, that brother, whatever, does not want a healing, we'd say no, we get a no. And things change. You know, maybe it's a no this week, maybe in 2 months they want a healing. But it's really
right.
An important part of our protocol.
Okay, to be ready at that time. Well, wow, Penny, I've really enjoyed our conversation on healing. And
oh, thank you. And I just want to leave your audience with the fact that we do, One Light Healing Touch is having Zoom trainings. If they go to our website, onelighthealingtouch.com, there's a page called Calendar, and it has the schools there and the teachers and websites there, so they can take a look and love to hear from anybody who is interested.
Okay. Well, Penny, I've appreciated you, your time, and your information. And audience, I thank you for listening, too. It's time to take control of our healing, folks. So, you know, get the book. Make that your first step, getting the book, The Healing Field. You can also go on Gaia and look at the documentary. She has a couple.
Right, and it's on Amazon. The documentary is both on Amazon and on Gaia. And they have the 82-minute and the 60-minute version on Amazon. And the book is on Amazon, and it's both a paperback book and an ebook. So whatever format people like.
Okay, so you can get that and start healing yourself. And guys, remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of self-healing. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.